The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood. I ran out of steam halfway through. The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a 3-year-old and a 9-month-old.
And I'm Jeff, I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Took us a few takes to get that intro. Because folks, I am tired.
Someone's really tired.
Yeah, just don't travel with kids. Why would you travel with kids?
No, eh?
So the family on this side took a trip and a flight, in fact, and it involved a layover.
Ooh.
And I'll say it's funny because it is incredibly exhausting. When on earth am I going to catch up on sleep? Like, at what point in my dad life will I rest and catch up on sleep? Right.
It doesn't happen.
Until when they graduate college, finally I can rest. But we took them on this flight and we had a layover. And the way we planned it out was this was a red eye. Yeah. So the final flight left at 11 at night.
Okay.
And arrived sometime, I think it was 5 or 6 in the morning with the time changes or something. So very late.
Right.
Now, this worked out great. So firstly, it is amazing how well our airports are set up now to help kids and families. Because the thing is, like, it helps everybody, right? Because you know what's worse than standing in a 2-hour line trying to get through customs?
Oh, God.
Standing in line for 2 hours with a screaming baby behind you, not your baby. Not good for the parents. Not good for the baby. Not good for anybody else.
No, they just move you through faster when that happens. I use that trick at the hospital. And the just baby's crying. Just keep crying. You'll be in faster.
You're pinching the baby.
Exactly. Don't worry. It's for the best.
Yeah, but this will pay off dividends, kid. Don't worry.
It hurts me more than it hurts you. So.
Not really.
No.
No, but they have specific lines now for parents and with anybody with kids. And that's for the customs. That's for security line. Everything about it. When they get people onto the plane, it's parents with kids first.
Okay.
I think it's such a cliche, right? You see the baby on the plane or the family coming on the plane, and it's just everybody's size. Like, oh no, like here it is. I think too, like there's enough empathy that happens that they figured out the system to best help those families. Because part of it too would be, sure, you could just not travel. But then you're like, okay, so their grandparents just don't get to see them, or...
Yeah, a bunch of factors, right?
So it makes sense to let them travel. Yeah, it makes sense to try to help them out. So it could not have gone better.
That's good.
The travel and everything else, I mean, shockingly good. They didn't make it easy. But it was very difficult. But it just, everything went well. The lines were super smooth. We got a lot of help. Kids were pretty well behaved. On the red eye, both kids fell asleep for pretty much the entire flight.
Oh, that's amazing. That's perfect.
Which was a miracle.
Yeah.
A miracle, I tell you. It was just like, that wasn't comfortable for us because neither of us are sleeping.
Right.
Right, because they're sleeping on us. So we are horrifically uncomfortable. But the choice is that or having them cry the whole time.
Yeah.
100 times out of 100 times. Absolutely go ahead and sleep. I'll suffer. Now, the problem is when we land, the scenario is we have two very well-rested kids.
Yeah.
And two parents on zero sleep. That is not a good dynamic.
No.
So we got a second wind, get some coffee, and we were able to power through it. But as I said, like at this point now, it's been any number of days. I've lost track.
Wow.
It's been some days.
That's blurring.
And I am still just not recouped, but no, I think I left the experience with a amazement at how much empathy and how much care and concern airports and just everybody is kind of taken towards families who have to travel. Yeah, just the thankfulness that it had gone so well. Is a flight something that you would attempt?
So we've taken the kids in the past, and my younger son was 9 months when it when we first went to Cuba, actually. And we had a good experience because he was okay for a while in the airport. But then as soon as we hit the plane, he was that baby that just cried the entire time. So we were apologizing to everybody around us. And everyone, maybe kind of like you said, everyone kind of understood. Like, they didn't hold judgment. Like, why would you ever bring this child on the plane? It was more like, I've been there, or, you know, how can I help? Or, you know, don't worry about it. So that was a good experience. Now, we plan on going to Mexico this year. It's been quite a few years since our last trip. So we're going to take the kids. They're a little bit older. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing that they're older, because they want to do stuff and they're more like rambunctious, high energy, and they can run up and down the aisles if they wanted to. It's it's about keeping them kind of situated and entertained. Now they're not going to fall asleep. My one son, my older son, does not fall asleep in car rides, no matter what time of day, night or day, does not fall asleep. So that is very interesting to me on airplane ride, even for 3 hours. Like, it's not that long of a flight, but we have to be there at 5 a.m. So that could be questionable on...
That's a tricky one. Now,
what's happening?
So with the distraction methods, like, would their DSs come in handy? Would you be able to give them the Game Boys and say, you can play this as much as you want for the next couple hours?
They would love that. As soon as I say that, they would love that. But I'm not sure that it's going to hold their interest for more than an hour. And even after an hour, I'm going to be like, you might want to take a rest, just because they get kind of bug-eyed and like kind of spacey. Like, they're not sure reality is blending in with Mario. They're not sure where they are. But I don't know. We're going to bring some games, and maybe there's an in-flight movie that's appropriate. I don't know. Last time it was like Superman versus Batman or something, which is not age appropriate for...
Well, I have not been on a flight recently that did the one movie. So there's two types of flights I've seen. One is that they have the TV in the back of the seats, and everybody just gets to choose their own movie. Or the thing they're doing now to save money is they just have you download an app on your phone. And that's a tip too, because once you're in the air, you can't download this app. So make sure whatever airline you're going to, download their app to make sure that you can access all their shows. And most of these always have like a kids section.
Perfect. So
it's your Paw Patrol, it's your Disney movies, it's all the good stuff.
Good.
So, I mean, this is where it's one of those terrible scenarios where you're forcing kind of junk on your kid because you just need to get through a situation. Because for us, what it is, like, it's those asinine garbage YouTube videos.
Yes.
If you see these, like, this is where it's like the 3D Tyrannosaurus Rex badly animated, and it jumps into a colored pool and it jumps out. It's like red. And then it goes off and like 1,000 soccer balls explode for no reason.
Wow.
Garbage. Like, these videos, if you'll find them on YouTube, they have millions of views. So kids are eating them up, and I guess suckers like me. But my son will be so transfixed by this.
Yes.
Loves it. Like, I, in the household on the day-to-day, like, I've banned it. Like, I cannot stand it.
Yeah.
Like, I much prefer he watches something like, if he has to watch something, it's more something like Paw Patrol. Or, you know, any of those kiddie shows, because he gets bored and he'll leave and we'll go play afterwards. Yeah, he can only take like 20, 30 minutes of it. Awesome. This nonsense, he would watch for hours. There's just something about it. Like, so that's awful. That's terrible.
Yeah, no.
But when you're 10,000 feet in the air.
Whatever works.
Yeah, let's get through this flight. Okay, here you go. Have your garbage. So we loaded up a tablet with every conceivable video, a couple games that he likes to play, and like between the sleeps, like that was what kind of sustained him.
Okay.
So I think your guys being older with the DSs, like, that sounds awesome. The real winner would be is if you had the Nintendo Switch. Like,
that's what I think. Like, I was about to say, I'm like, this is the perfect opportunity to test it out. Even if Nintendo gave me a freebie just to kind of have a dad's view on the flight, that'd be great. You know?
Yeah. That's a perfect reporting. That's on the ground.
Yeah.
On the ground family reporting.
I know. Perfect situation for a Switch. So.
Yeah. What's your take on the parents And you'll see these photos on social media from time to time. But the parents come on and they hand out bags of candy to everybody around them. They're like, hey, sorry, no. My kid's an idiot. Like,
no.
Here's a chocolate.
No, I don't need to hand out loot bags. I do enough of that.
This is not a birthday.
Exactly. I get two of those a year, not to mention all the ones we go to, which is every weekend we have a birthday to go to. So, no, I'm done with loot bags. I'm not making loot bags for anybody. They just deal. I'm at that stage where I'm like, you know what? Sorry. This is it. This is what's going to happen. You can choose to enjoy the Paw Patrol that you're watching next to my son or not.
Yeah. So. And ultimately, as long as you're doing your best, I think people will appreciate it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And trying to help them out. And as I mentioned, in all my experiences, I've found people just to be very empathetic. Like, fortunately, for the most part, so many people have kids or their siblings have kids or they just happen to like kids. So then they look at it, yeah. They're like, poor kids, poor parents. Let's help it out. So,
yeah. it's always the zoned out look on the parents. Like they're kind of ghost face. Like, I'm sorry. I need some rest.
Yeah.
So.
Long as you're empathetic, long as you're out. But.
Yeah.
Hey, so you'll have to report back with how that flight goes. I'm happy to report that it went super smooth. I think for the next 3 or 4 weeks, expect me to be a little bit tired on the podcast here, but as always, we will trudge on.
Yeah.
And in so trudging on, we need to keep up with traditions of the show, and that leads us nicely into the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. So this week, we have a bit of a different spin for the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. So this post comes from Reddit user Dakota Shore. Now, usually we like to highlight new dads who share great moments of gaming with their kids, be it a gaming room setup, their little ones playing Mario for the first time, etc. But this week, the poster put up a picture of his father at the age of 48, having just successfully collected all 900 Korok seeds in Breath of the Wild. So as opposed to the gaming dad himself beaming about a great moment, it was somebody giving a post of his dad who was playing a game and achieved something that seems utterly ridiculous. 900
Korok seeds. Holy, 900 of anything in any game is ridiculous. But congrats to this. This is, again, an amazing achievement. Just to spend that time to do that. That's, I'm playing God of War, and seriously, there's like 51 collectibles in that, and 900 of that, I would just walk away from the screen, put the controller down, walk away. So
the picture posted too, like two thumbs up, jubilation on his face.
Yeah,
as like the 900th like spins on screen. It is genius. Like we could only hope, as gaming dads, like we're able to keep playing as we're getting older, and we're still having these type of moments.
Yeah, it's something to look forward to, right? Because again, he looks well rested, happy. he's playing the Switch with Zelda, so you know he's at where I want to be in 10 years. So I'm looking forward to this. This looks great, and 900 collectibles. Sure, I'll do that.
Yeah, it kind of seems like the payoff. Like if gaming is in the household, and the kids are introduced to it, and maybe the poster himself likes video games or doesn't.
Yeah.
But you know, it's in the household. It's kind of part of your family activities. And as the father, you're enjoying it, and the kids enjoying your enjoyment. It's an entirely great. It's just a great circle of gaming.
Yeah,
that's happening. Yeah. Some place I think with that really, this is so much the ultimate goal of any new dad who wants the game, where it's eventually sharing these type of moments with your kid.
Yeah, it's what I'm working towards every day. Kind of, I never had that as a kid with my dad being interested in games. So I'm trying to kind of not push that on my kids, but it's great when they want to watch me play and I watch them play. Mm-hmm. And so something like this is, again, a good goal for any new dad that games with their kids. So,
no, kudos. 1000%. This is the beacon of hope. The dream can happen.
Yes.
Keep pushing, new dads. Keep it moving. So this Gaming Dad Victory goes to Reddit user Dakota Shore and his 48-year-old father on an unbelievable achievement and providing a ray of hope for dads who game. Congratulations. If you would like to be nominated for Gaming Dad Victory of the Week or know somebody else deserving, please reach out to us at our website at newdadgaming.com.
And as part of New Dad Gaming, each week we go over this week's highlights and what happened in the world of gaming. Sony has kicked off pre-E3 announcements with the game Tetris Effect. For those that don't know, the Tetris effect is actually a known phenomenon that occurs when people devote so much time and focus to one activity, it begins to affect their thoughts and even their dreams. Apparently, this was pretty common when focused in on the game Tetris. Now we have a game that looks like those thoughts, swirls of colors and objects on screen, and some sort of visual feast. Best of all, it looks like it's got a PSVR component to it, so get your eyeballs ready for when it's slated to launch later this year. And it seems like every week we are talking Fortnite, so this week should be no different. There was a quick online posting in the Nintendo eShop that listed Fortnite along with the official logo, but then was quickly taken down. We can likely expect an E3 announcement from either Epic Games or Nintendo on Fortnite being available for the Switch, and maybe even the 3DS. Stay tuned. Hitman 2 was teased, and then leaked, and then officially teased. For now, we know that there is some sort of Hitman game coming, but we're not sure what form it will take. It'll likely be a sequel considering how surprisingly well Hitman did with his episodic content, but we should know more in the coming days when Agent 47 and what he's going to be doing. Another pre-E3 leak was leaked by Walmart Canada, where the store put up the next Assassin's Creed game entitled Odyssey. Ubisoft later confirmed the game and released a teaser clip of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, featuring ancient Greece and some Spartan soldiers. Banking on the success of Origins, which took place in Egypt, we look forward to more details and hopefully the inclusion of some Greek gods, maybe a la God of War style. Okay, last pre-E3 leak that we know about. Death Stranding, the Hideo Kojima game, or for those that don't know, the person responsible for the Metal Gear Solid series, has some details leaked online. Obviously not confirmed, but the information lists that the game will feature timelines with character permadeath. There is also a mention of a multiplayer component, which supposedly presents all players in the game with a decision to kill an in-game character. When and if chosen to die, the character would end the multiplayer mode for the game forever. And lastly, the multiplayer has butterfly effects where other online players can affect your own world, making the game a constant shifting experience. This all seems so over the top and overly complicated, which is why it's totally believable that Hideo Kojima is at this helm creating a game that we are all going to be confused about. We'll wait to see more in E3 next week. As for actual game launches this week, some notables include Vampyre for PS4, MotoGP 18, Onrush and Origami Shadow Edition for PS4 and Xbox One, Blaze Blue Crosstag Battle for the PS4 and the Switch, and Banner Saga 2 finally lands on the Switch. That's it for the gaming news for this week. Catch a nap and tune in next time for another update.
Now, have you ever had the Tetris effect?
I actually have. And it's not as crazy as it sounds in the description, but it's more like I've played it so long that I start almost organizing things the same way, if that makes sense. So, yeah.
You mean like as you're laying down or like just in everyday life, like trying to stack your couches or something?
It goes in the L shape. I need a straight line. Kind of like that, because I used to, I remember working at a grocery store and I'm setting the shelves in the grocery store. It was kind of, I could Tetris it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Fit more on the shelf? So I remember kind of experiencing that a little bit, but who knows? This game seems wild though. Like absolutely over the top.
Yeah, I could say, like I've had, I don't know if it's just the way my mind works, but I actually have to be a little bit careful about what games I play before I go to bed.
Oh yeah.
Because if it's too if there's too much mind power being applied to it to really solve the puzzle, I can find that my mind just keeps working on it. And the two examples I can think of that is if sometimes with Hearthstone, if it's a particularly bad match or something.
Yeah.
Like I'll keep playing it in my head or like I'm kind of thinking about different moves that could happen.
Yeah.
Like the strategy kind of keeps on going because it's, you know, that it's 3D chess in some ways. Like it's constantly evolving and you got to think about four or five different things.
Yeah.
The craziest one that happened to me was I actually solved a game puzzle afterwards, like while I was half asleep.
Really?
Oh. So this is with Braid, and it had this particular one puzzle I just could not beat. And I gave up for the night and went and lied down for bed. And as I'm lying there, I'm running through it. Not purposefully. I'm not like, okay, I'm going to try to lie down and think about it. It just, no. I couldn't shut my mind off as I'm trying to sleep. And as I'm like in this half sleep dream state, it's kind of like I'm dreaming of playing the game and I'm running through it and I solved it. Like I figured, oh, I just jump up to the ledge and I put, oh, I got it. And I woke up the next day and I did it. I applied the fix and I solved it. yeah, like I could not shut it off. And then eventually my head figured it out, and the kind of like not actively, and I went right back and fixed the game. It was great.
It'd be funny if like your brain had solved the puzzle already, but it, like, left it in your subconscious. Like, it was just sitting there. It just needed to kind of percolate up and come out. Yeah. But that's a good game to kind of think about too, with all the time shifting and involvement in that one. So
yeah, the only challenge is you're not really going to get any sleep.
But you solved the game.
I found that happened too with the PSVR title Tumble VR, okay, where some of those puzzles too, because it's so visceral and it's these blocks that you're trying to stack on top of the table, there's something about that motion, and especially because it's really physical in that you're physically reaching out these blocks because of the nature of VR, something about that really stuck with me, where again, when lying down, you're like, yeah, oh, okay, if I stack this and then if I put this here and I go like that, and I just couldn't cut my mind out of it. I had to kind of wade through it, even like wake up and kind of like try to shake it off because it stuck with me.
Yeah, I could see that a lot more in VR too. I've come away from that just because of the virtual reality of it. You kind of almost feel like you're living it. So coming out of it, I've had that with Superhot, now that you mention it, just even with Superhot, and it's all, it, every level is a puzzle on how to dodge and defeat the enemies. So I can replay that in my mind, like, oh no, I should have just grabbed that and headed over the other way instead of, you know, what I was doing. So yeah, it's interesting how that happens. You don't catch it.
But what does Tetris Effect do then? Like, is it this on steroids? And if you, I mean, are they going to drum it up to 11? So if you ever got the Tetris Effect from a basic game, when you play Tetris Effect, like, you're going to be screwed for 4 days
That's
straight?
It. Like, on the back, there'll be a warning saying you won't sleep, and you'll just think about this game forever.
Do not do this during the work week. You will not be able to function. You will just be doing Tetris.
If you view the trailer, it looks very visually intense, and it's from the guy that created, I think, like Rez and Luminous.
Oh, geez. Yeah, okay, so that is going to be a visual feast.
It's lots of visuals, lots of music, a lot of interactive things that are going to happen in the VR, I can only assume. So, yeah, we'll see. Looks exciting. Looks fresh.
It almost starts to become a question of responsibility, like, if this really screws people when they try to lie down to sleep or just rewires their brain, like, let's hope it's for the best.
Or an epidemic of some sort.
This is our Sudoku, and playing this, you become smarter.
There you go. I hope they see the results.
Though the Fortnite on the Switch makes total sense.
Yeah,
that's perfect. Especially like it's on iPhones and Android phones, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Why not?
Like this. The Switch would be perfect. It's slightly more geared towards a younger demographic.
Yep.
I don't think they have anything like dual screen, so I don't think it's going to be sort of nunchuck support on that one. But
no.
Now, the DS one is a bit more interesting. Like, that would be especially interesting if they went to that type of older console. But then the question becomes, is it free on either of those platforms?
Well, yeah.
Would you have to buy it?
I don't know.
Right? Especially the DS. How on earth has DS ever had a free game?
No. I don't think it has. I can't recall one that...
Okay, Trevor's now going to Google something.
And I imagine that's probably the biggest restriction that Epic has had a workout with Nintendo. It's really not like a spec issue. It's probably like Nintendo's lockdown online parent family friendly ecosystem, where they're like, hey, there's this free-to-play game, and it has a lot of in-game stuff you can buy. So...
Yeah, so I'm looking... Quick Google search is not really showing anything. We have something directly from Nintendo here called free-to-start games.
Again, they offer a lot of demos, but I haven't seen, like, free-to-play.
Looks like there's some free games, but it's different than Fortnite, which is a pitched free game. Microtransaction-based system.
It'll be interesting, especially with Nintendo.
Like, if you're really into Fortnite, like, and we're kind of on the fence for a DS, I've often thought about buying a DS, because there's just so many Nintendo games I have not been able to touch for a long time. And it's such a cool little system, compact, bring it anywhere. And if it had something like Fortnite, something that's, like, the most popular game at the moment, like, I'd imagine somebody like myself or anybody else who's kind of been thinking about it for a while, that starts to make it a really interesting prospect.
It also makes the Switch.
The Switch. Yeah. Clearly you need a Switch.
You see? That's right.
But think about the interface, because if you could do if you could be selecting things on the bottom screen.
Yeah.
Like which gun, which thing you're building, or if you had even a map, like a constant map, so you can kind of see where you're going.
Yeah, quickly, right? Like right at your fingertips.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of cool things that they could do with that. So all of a sudden that becomes announcing. On the Switch, it seems like a no-brainer. The question becomes, is it free?
Yeah.
And fully supports the microtransactions. They'd have to. There's no way you can have it without.
No.
So seeing how Nintendo would handle that is going to be very interesting, because that's a... Now, as more, you're a bit more in the Nintendo world than I am. Do they have any games with microtransactions? Like Animal Crossing, does that have microtransactions?
Animal Crossing on the iOS does, yes.
No, so, but on DS or Switch?
DS, no. Switch, I'm not sure about, but DS, no. At least the one we have does not have microtransactions. It has this timing mechanic that acts the same way, so it's like in-game time progresses, and then you can get in-game currency. But as far as I know, there's no online interaction with purchasing anything like that. And then all the other games I've bought for my kids, it's really not up that way yet. It's more the Marios and racing and even Zelda games. So
it is going to be something we really need to pay attention to, this, because if it comes, it's going to be a pretty radical shift for Nintendo with their microtransactions, especially given the family focus and we don't want kids to purchase this stuff. Very interesting indeed.
We'll see.
So Death Stranding. So it is stranding and not standing.
Yeah, stranding.
Because it just doesn't. That just makes it make a little less sense, of course. So real consequences to decisions around NPCs in the game. Like that sounds nuts. It sounds a little bit like that other big hit with, was it Nier Automata?
Yes, Nier Automata. Yeah.
So I don't know if we get into spoiler territory if we talk about this, but...
Well...
Okay, so I guess we'll call it... It's been out for a long time now.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Okay, so we're going to say this. This is a spoiler. If you haven't played Nier, don't listen to this podcast. Skip this last part here.
Skip.
But the interesting mechanic with Nier was you would get to a point in the game... And it would seem like all these other multiplayer people who are online, all these other real life players would come in and help you at a certain point to get past a certain thing that you cannot beat on your own.
Yeah.
And then near the end of your game, you are given the option to jump into somebody else's game and help them, much like they did for you or somebody else did for you some long while ago.
Right.
But in so doing, you will completely delete your game.
Right.
So you will lose all your progress. You can't go back. You can't retrieve it. It'll be gone. So you are quite literally sacrificing your, let's call it life, as far as this game's concerned, to help a stranger, like they did, like somebody did for you.
Right.
But so utterly fascinating as far as a mechanic in gaming, especially as something so precious as a save file, as gamings go.
That's right.
So to hear that they're playing in this space, and especially it's Kojima playing in this space.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting.
Again, and he's the master of like deception and over complexity in his games. And some of these rumors, again, they're unsubstantiated. We don't know, but they went so detailed as to say that when your character dies, they go to the bottom of this ocean. And then when they come up, some memories of their past game come with them and affect that gameplay. And then if they die, I guess too many times or too many players die, that ocean starts being polluted, and then it's almost like the pollution washes ashore, quotes, into other players' games as they progress. So again, all I'm hearing though is that it's like online component, lots of time sink. Yeah. I don't think I can play this.
Yeah, no, it doesn't sound like there's going to be like a really clean end necessarily.
No.
Like you can't just play it and finish it and like, I enjoyed that.
That's it.
And move on your way.
It does not sound like that at all, so...
This is not sounding like a dad game, but it's sounding like a hell of an experience. Like, it's taking the medium to a whole another level from type of stuff that we've done.
Yeah.
Like, I got my controller, I'm controlling this guy, here's the story, level up, neat, done. But this is now... this is taking the multiplayer element, it's layering it on top of it, it's altering the gameplay for everybody... Call it like real world consequences, quote unquote.
Yeah.
That's mad. What a gaming world we live in.
if he can pull that off, that would be quite an achievement. And it's kind of like Until Dawn, where you had like player choices and, you know, certain characters might die. For having that, like the whole world kind of deciding your game, be kind of neat to at least experience. I don't know if I'd finish it, but we'll see.
It's yet to be seen if it's a dad game. We'll have to kind of judge it as we learn more about it. But yeah, again, it's just, there's all these interesting stories with these games coming out that we have to keep on top of it.
Yeah.
But it's so great to see Kojima moving forward. You know, you'll never really catch him stranding still.
Back and with the dad.
we'll wrap that for the week. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can find us at our website, newdadgaming.com. We'd love to hear from you with show ideas, notes, questions, anything you can throw at us. If you'd like to be nominated for the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week, please also reach out to us there. A quick reminder that we have a contest wrapping up soon to enter to win one of four PC games we're giving away as part of a celebration for reaching 100 episodes. And here's to 100 episodes more. You can also find us on social media with Twitter and Facebook. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and any other podcasting service. We'd love a subscription, a like, and a pass along to any dad who games. Until next week, my name is Trevor, and I have a 3-year-old and a 9-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old.
All right. And we'll see you next week.
See ya.